In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, this life is a contest of love between us and God. When we were in the seminary, we learned in moral theology that God has total dominion over our life, and we, meanwhile, have partial dominion. We do not have complete ownership over the things that God has given us. He doesn't will to give us that complete ownership, but we only have rather what might be called a stewardship. We have like a rental period for the things that we have. Our car does not belong to us. Our house does not belong to us. Our children do not belong to us. Even our own selves, our soul and our body do not belong to us. They ultimately belong to God. And he gives them to us, not to be used however we want, but as a steward, as a possessor of that thing for a certain period of time. And he tries to see if we will use it well, if we use these things well, or we will use them badly. It's sad that in our Enlightenment and Protestant mentality today, that the majority of people today do not like having such a God. They don't want to have such a God who gives you stuff and then doesn't let you do whatever you want with it, but expects you to use those things in a certain way. They want a God who is not a loving father, but is more like a manufacturer who just produces things and then you get to use them however you want. You know how it is with a manufacturer. You go to the car factory and there's cars rolling off the assembly line, and then they go to the car dealership, and then someone goes and they say, well, I like this car. I think I want to buy this car. And they're like, okay, well, you pay the money and you drive off with the car. And does the Ford dealership care what you do with the car after that point? Of course not. They don't care if you want to go, use the car for transportation, if you want to go off-roading with the car, if you want to use the car for target practice, they don't care. It doesn't matter to them. And this God that they want, this, we may call it a Freemasonic God, a deist God, is a God who just simply cranks out human beings. And then he says to us, I don't care what you do with what I've given you, this humanity that I've given you. Just do whatever you want. If you're a Catholic, if you're an atheist, I don't care. If you're a Buddhist, if you're a Baptist, I don't care. If you're selfish or unselfish, just or unjust, pure or impure, doesn't matter. You have total ownership over what I've given you. You can do with it whatever you want. That's the kind of God that they want. That's the kind of God that most people worship today, where he's just going to approve whatever you do, no matter what you do, because you have total control. He's given you total control over your life. But the thing is, such a God is a very cold God. He's not a loving God. He's certainly not a father. You think about parents, and if your parent treated you that way, if they just said to you, look, we're going to feed you, we're going to clothe you, whatever, and whatever you do with your life, I don't care. Doesn't concern me in the least. Whereas real parents, good parents, what they do is they try to give all these gifts to their children, and they want to make sure that their children use them well. They expect that their children use these gifts well. A good father will give to their child, first of all, gives them life, gives them his name, bears the name of the father, gives them a good education, gives him an upbringing, a proper upbringing, teaches him how to live life, to be disciplined, to practice virtue, gives him the Catholic faith, gives him a love of God. And then doesn't say, well, whatever you do with these things, it doesn't matter to me. No, he expects his child to live up to these gifts, to live according to these gifts. And what we have to notice is that this is the only way that you have love. That the relationship that God has with us, the relationship that good parents have with their children, is a relationship of love, where there is an exchange of goods. There are all these gifts conferred upon the child, and the child shows love by using them well and living a good life. And this is the way our God, the real God, is with us, his children. There's so many parables that our Lord preaches in the gospel, that our Lord teaches us in the gospel that are about this theme. Just think about the many times in the gospels where our Lord talks about, he sort of depicts our life. He characterizes our life. There's the parable about the talents, for instance, where he says, you know, life is like you getting a bunch of money. And then the one who gives it to you goes away. And then he's going to come back later on. After the rental period is over, he's going to say, what did you do with those talents? Did you make them grow? And if you didn't make them grow, if you just kept them the same, he's upset. Think about the vineyard parables, where you have the householder and he says, okay, I'm going to have you take care of this, my vineyard. I'm going to go away. And then I'm going to come back. And I'm going to see, what did you do with my vineyard? Or the laborers in the vineyard, where there's people just standing around. They're doing nothing their whole life. And the owner of the vineyard, he's upset. He's like, what are you doing here? Standing idle. You're not doing anything with your life. Come into my vineyard. Work. You're supposed to be doing something with your life. Then there's the parable of the rich man. You know, the rich man who's just like, he thinks he's got total control over his life. And he says, all right, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to fill up my barns, build new sheds and everything, get them filled up. And on the day they're filled up, I'm going to say, now it's time for my retirement. And I'm just going to enjoy life. I'm just going to live in the lap of luxury for the rest of my life. And then God says, today, I want everything back. Today, I ask of you your life. I'm taking your life back. So all of these parables are meant to say to us, God really does care about how we use the gifts that he has given to us. He expects us to use well the life that we have. And what I mean especially is that we engage in a contest of love. What do I mean by that? I mean that there's this contest between us and God. He starts first. He gives to us everything that we have, absolutely everything. And then he sees how we take those things and whether or not we use them to love him in return. We seek to give back to God. How can I take these things, give them back to God, show my love for God by giving back to him? You know that one key aspect of love is that things be given freely. There is no love unless there is freedom of will. That's why the manufacturer is just a contract between two people. It's just an exchange of goods. There is no love about it. When there is actual love, there is a freedom on the part of the gift. You want to give the thing, you give it freely. This is what, first of all, God does for us. He makes us without having to make us. There was no obligation for God to create you or for God to create me. There's lots and lots of people out there, and every single one of them, God has chosen. God has chosen you to exist out of all the different possible people to exist. Think about the fact that you are completely unique. There's no one that's ever existed who is you, and there will never be another you that has ever existed. And the mystery is that, why is that? Is because for whatever reason, God wanted you. God wanted you to exist. And so he made you. He made you. He chose you to exist as a completely free gift. And he gave you your parents. He gave you your extended family. He gave you this earth with all its material resources. You think about everything that you have or possess, or like the clothing we wear, our house, our car, our smartphone. They're all made of materials that God has made. The land that you live on, God created all those things. They all come from God, and he gives them. He gives them to you. And then he says, okay, well, what is my child going to do with these things? That's the natural order. We know that in the supernatural order, it's the same thing. God gives everything freely to us. He becomes incarnate, takes on our human nature by a free choice of his own. He willingly and freely dies on the cross for us, for our sins. He gives us, we get Mass for free. We get to go to confession for free. We get Holy Communion for free. We get, catechism for free. It's all meant to be free, because you can only have love in a context where you act freely. It's not a contract. It's not a commercial contract. You're not being forced. You have to choose. You have to step forward and say, I want this. I'm going to make an effort to, on the one hand, receive things from God. On the other hand, give things back to God. Of course, the greatest gift that we can give back to God, the main thing that he wants is ourselves. We give ourselves back to God. And that happens primarily by us choosing, aligning our wills with the will of God. We want to choose to do what is pleasing to God in all the things that we do. We also give our time back to God. As I say, we try to come to Mass. We do spiritual reading. You know, we pray our rosary. We carve out specific times where we worship God. We seek to give him the honor that is owed to him. But the bottom line is that the devout Catholic always has this very true perspective that everything I have received from God. I have a certain amount of time in this life. What I must try to do as far as I'm able is to give back to God. I must show my appreciation and love for him by giving back to him as much as I can, to give my person to him, to give my time to him, to give my goods to him. This is the great contest of our life. This is the great effort we must make. It's kind of try to beat God at his own game of love, to try to, if it's even possible, and I don't think it is, but try to return to God more love than he has shown to us. And of course, the heart of our giving back to God is our Catholic life and our parish life, that what we do as a parish, how we exercise our Catholic faith at church. You know how the church just sets a bare minimum for a Catholic as what she requires, where she says, you have to do this. Thou shalt go to Mass every Sunday. You know, it's the third commandment. And you have to go to confession once a year. You have to go to communion during the Easter time. And you think about it, and you're like, can you even save your soul? Just doing that bare minimum, it seems hardly possible to even save your soul. Why is the church requiring so little of me? And the reason is because God and Holy Mother Church want your heart. They want you, your love. They want to make things free so that you choose willingly to give back to God. Whereas if she's always commanding, then there's not as much room for this spontaneous act, this loving act on your part. So she leaves so many things to our free choice, our desire to give back at God. you know, at every parish, there's always a bell curve of parishioners. You know, you have that curve where there's the two ends. There's a few people on each end. There's a lot of people in the middle, and on one end. And I think our bell curve is actually kind of fat on the good end, where you have people who are just all in. They really understand deeply through the spirit of faith that their parish, their life in their parish, is a primary way for them to show their love for God. Their love for the parish is a reflection of their love of God, and so they're all in. They're always volunteering for everything. They're members of the various sodalities or confraternities in the parish. They're even stepping in spontaneously without being asked to do a lot of things. They have even this notion that it's a privilege for them to be able to do things like clean the church, clean the house of God, to the point that sometimes priests might say, well, you know, you might want to cut down a little bit. You really might be stretching yourself too far in all of your generosity and the things that you do for the church. Whereas on the other end, you know, there's people who struggle to make it to Mass each Sunday, who might just be in and out at a Sunday Mass. The priest may have never spoken to them over a period of years. Might know them by face, but not have ever had a conversation with them. And meanwhile, the rest somewhere in between. Of course, the priests are very happy when parishioners are very involved in their parish. But, you know, we have to understand that the way the church sets things up, she wants to make it clear to the faithful that this is not about Father Robinson or about Father McBride. This is about God. This is why, you know, the priest vocation, for one thing, is something where he freely has to offer himself to be a priest. No one is forced to be a priest. So he offers his life. But then at the same time, the church, we move priests along. The priest doesn't stay at a place for a given time, so that the faithful understand it's not about this person. It's not about this priest or that priest. Priests come and go, but you remain. You remain here at this parish. And that's to teach you that what you do is giving back to God, not giving back to this or that priest. So, you know, our capital campaign is just something in that same context. It's just another opportunity to give back to God, to say to God, well, all that I have, all my material possessions are really yours. And I have this opportunity to restore your house, restore this building where you dwell. And so I want to show my love for you by giving back to you. So, my dear faithful, who is going to win this contest of love with God, that we have with God? There's two possibilities. One possibility is God wins and we lose. And that is when we don't really take on this effort in our life to give back to God, to return love for love. And so we try to, you know, kind of appropriate the goods, say it's all mine and I get to use it however I want, you know. And so we don't really unite ourselves with God in this life. We don't really love him. The other possibility is where God wins and we win, where we both win, because we know that what happens is God never lets himself lose this contest, that whenever we give back to God, he makes sure that he's always going to be more generous than us. So he rewards us, even in this life, with whatever we give back to him. He always gives more. The more that we give, the more that he gives back to us. We have to especially ask Our Lady for her heart, for her immaculate heart, her dispositions towards her son, this great love, this burning love that she had towards her son, the desire to return the love of her son for her, in creating her and making her his mother. And we can do no better than trying to ask Our Lady for a little bit of the sentiments of our heart and this great desire to return the love of God for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.